Because we started seeing last time, Tov Shem Shem and Tov. In other words, that we tied that from this place in the Megillah, the answers are starting. Shlomo Melech asked at the end of the last chapter, Mashhoya Kranikha Shemoy, Venoida Shehu Odom, La Yuchalodon Im Shetakev Mimeno. Sort of the idea that life's problems are too difficult to cope with. Shenikra Shemoy Odom. So the tegubah to that is the reaction to that is no toiv shame, mishem and toiv. The shame Odom, particularly, like we were masbir last week, is better than shem and toiv. It's true that Odom, the etzem, is related to Adoma, it carries in it the connotation of development, growth, infinite growth. And the male of Yom Hamoves, Yom Hivaldo, the person lives in that way, in a way of constantly trying to realize an inner potential. He rises to the challenges which life gives to him, then the Yom Hamoves is a lot better than the Yom Hivaldo. Yom Hivaldo exhausts itself completely in a potential. Yom Hamoves is, in a way, a wonderful day. Ois v'hoda levusha batischak liyom acharon. Shlomo HaMelech said about the Eishes Chayil, right? But his Chakliyam Acharon, that she laughs in anticipation of the last day. The person dies. So in a way, that's great. I mean, figure out that Worm must have felt very great when he died. Bo by Yomim, to be able to look back on a life fully lived, that's a very, very wonderful feeling. People are sorry that they die. Moshe Rabbeinu, for example, said in Chazal that he was mispalel so many tefillos, v'eschanan, k'minyan v'eschanan, tefillos, that he shouldn't die. It's not because they're sorry to leave this world, but because it's not for what was in the past, but for what could be in the future. In other words, still time, he would be granted greater arichas yomim, he would be able to do more about it, he would be able to use it more constructively. But it's not the sense of hanging on to what one has. That's the pshat in the Chazal, which we quoted last week, that Rotzoincha Sheloi Tomus, Mus at Sheloi Tomus. As you begin to wean yourself away from all the things which tie a person to this world. Doesn't mean to say that there's nothing worthwhile here. Everything is worthwhile. It's a very, very, very beautiful world. It's a world with a lot of gorgeous things in it. But apart from human relationships, which are so precious. Even without the human relationships, there's so much beauty, so much wisdom, so much niceness. So really the whole world is in a way filled with a great deal of chesed from the Ribbono Shel Olam. And it's so nice to be able to look out into the world, to be overwhelmed by the harmony and the beauty, which in most cases is there. The Emes HaDachah said that really all nature, unspoiled nature, is really beautiful. And where you go to a forest, so you have Hano from the fauna and the flora, the animals, the plants, shade. Go to the sea, see the grandeur of the waves, of the water. Look up in the sky, stand up on a mountain, look up in a valley. I mean, everything, a lot of things which people have messed up very much, polluted there, made a rubbish dumps, mess things up. But really, it's all very beautiful. It's all a very, very wonderful gift which the Rabbi Nishan gave us. So you can imagine a person dying, being sorry to leave all that. And that would be legitimate too. No reason why a person can't love the world very much. That's why Hashem gave it to us. Hashem gave it to us, so we should love it. We should have hanoah from it. So we make brachas on it. But the pshat is poshut, that if you have to tear yourself away from something which you love very much, that becomes less difficult in proportion to the sense of anticipation which you have concerning the place where you're going. In other words, I may love the scenery very much in a certain place, but if I know that I'm going to another place where I love it very much too, I love it more, so the goodbye won't be so hard. So if a person has lived a full life, that is bo bayomim, and he comes with a sense of fulfillment, an accomplishment, a sort of a sense of confidence, that he has used the koichos which the Rabbi Nishan gave him to the fullest extent, so then vatischak liyom acharon, so then he can face the yom acharon with equanimity. He can face the yom acharon with a sense of tischak. She laughs in anticipation, the eshes chayil. She laughs in anticipation of the yom acharon. Oiz v'hoda levusha. What's oiz and hoda? In other words, what are the ingredients which a person needs to be able to be batischak liyom acharon, in order to face death with equanimity? What are the characteristics, what are the ingredients with which a person should live in order to be able to laugh in anticipation of his death? So it seems from the pasuk, oiz v'hoda levusha. She's malbish herself in oiz and in hoda. A very interesting thing. What is oiz and what is hoda? Well, oiz is strength. So I guess we would call it discipline. What is hoda? It's beauty. So a very interesting combination. I don't know whether we would have chosen that, if we would have been asked to isolate two qualities which would help a person to live a full life. So would we have chosen strength and beauty? Strength and... what is beauty? What is the hoda? Hoda is a very special kind of beauty. I will never explain that to you. There's hoid and there's hoda. So what is the nature of hoid and what is the nature of hoda? So Rachut Nazir HaTzal has a long marocha to explain these two concepts. Actually, the etymology which he uses is a little questionable, I think. But he says this. He says, hoid and hoda always go together, right? Hoid v'hoda levashta. There's one occasion in Tanakh where they get split from one another. Avotna sees a very, very profound meaning in that. He says that hod has to do with the shoyrish of yodo, which means to be moda, to admit. So sometimes there's a certain kind of beauty which derives from a vitur, from a giving up, rather than an assertion. What do we mean by that? You have a choir, and they're all singing together. So if each one tries to yell at the top of his voice, or each one tries to sing every note or whatever it is, right? So then you end up with a cacophony of sound. You don't end up with a very beautiful song, right? But each person singing a little more quietly or harmonizing with the other one. In other words, being mistayeg a little bit, holding himself back. So that's the hod. That's the beauty which comes from vitter. Or if you make a painting, so all the colors, each one tries to be dominant. So I guess you take the color which is the strongest, you take a great big flashy red and you end up with a squash tomato, right? Which if you're painting a squash tomato, it comes out very nice, but if you're not, that's not what you want. But then each color blends into the other one, harmonizes with the other one. So each aspect of this beauty is hoid, it's moide, it's mevata from its own assertion for the benefit of the whole. Hoda, then, is that beauty which comes from the realization, the mafreya, hoda, going backwards, to see that the hoidor was not really a hoidor, it was not really a vitter, but on the contrary, it was a gain. In other words, the hoda is megala, that the hoid wasn't a hoid at all. In other words, like this it looks, if I don't sing loud, so I'm losing something. Hoda is megala, that no, that which you were mitzamtzem yourself, that which you were mevata from your ability to assert yourself, produced the greater beauty. Now, hoda is that beauty which derives from the harmony, which is the taitzor of a hoid. When all the elements which make up the whole are moide, are mevata, and function as hod, so then it turns out that the real hoda is produced, right? He learns pshat like that, for example, in a very profound piece, in the Taina of the Malachim. Asher tno hoitcho al ha-shomayim, mo'enu shkises kirena ben odom kisef kedena, Hashem Adonainu mo'ad ha-shimcho b'chol ha-oretz. Right? Well, Malachim Taina, tno hoitcho al ha-shomayim. Your hoit belongs in the heavens. Why hoit? Why is Torah referred to as a hod? So Torah is referred to as a hod because in giving Torah to human beings, it's like the Rebbein Shem is being mevata, right? He's giving over something very precious to people who might not be able to use it. That was the time of the Malacha. Yeah? Why should you give the Torah to human beings? They do aveiros. Yeah? They can spoil it. You don't give something very precious to somebody who doesn't really know how to make the best use of it. So giving Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu and through Moshe Rabbeinu to us was a hoid. And that's what the Malachim Tain, Asher Tzno Hoid Tro Al HaShemayim. Don't be moide, don't be mevata, don't give up. So what was the answer? What chasreyo me'at me'elohim v'kovayt v'hoda te'atreyo. Right? Okay, that the result of that hoid was a hoda, right? The result of that hoid was a hoda. In other words, it was niskale in the end, that when people do with the Torah what they're supposed to do with the Torah, you know? In other words, they don't spoil it. They don't follow the Yetzahara, but they use Torah the way it's supposed to be used and do with it what is supposed to be done. That creates a hoda. That creates a retroactive gilui that the vitter of the hoid wasn't really a hoda, but that the vitter of the hoid was, on the contrary, a contributing factor, or the contributing factor, to producing the hoda of what Talmud Chacham ben Torah looks like. That's the hoid and the hoda. Right? You stand to the sign as well, you know how to translate Ashrei. Hadar kevod hodecha. Just to make fun, I think I'll put it in, like, what's the title? Hadar kevod hodecha, the Schenkeit von dein Schenkeit von dein Schenkeit. How are you supposed to, the beauty of your beauty of your beauty. What does it mean? But in the context of which we're translating it now, it's beautiful, right? Hada kavod hodecha. That hoda which imbued your hod with kavod, right? In other words, the hoda, the retroactive harmonious hod which lent kavod to your hod. In other words, those aspects of your hanhaga with people, which could be described as a hod, which could be described as a hodah, as a bending. It's the pasuk over there in the end of Vayera, is it? Va'pishta va'sa'oro lo'enuku ki afilos heino. Right? In other words, that's a hod, bending in the storm. So you think, aha, it's weak. Okay, storm goes by, it stands straight up again. The hard things which refused to bend cracked with the hail. Right? So in other words, there's a vitter which is really a strength. There's a bending which is a winning the battle, not losing it. So that's the hadar kavod hodecha, the hoda which imbues the hod with kavod. Like this, you say that what kavod is there in hod? Hod is an admission. Hod is a vitter. Hod is a giving up. Yeah, so that's not something that is crazy, worthy of praise. That's not something which is worthy of kavod. When do we see that the hod is really a kavod or has a kavod? It's nisgala that the hod has a kavod with the hoda. It's when the hoda comes along, it's megala that the hod, the kavod of the hod. That's hadar kavod hodecha. So, ois v'hoda levusha. So ois is strength. So a person, in order to make full use of his life, a person in order to set his goal, that he wants to be a bo bayomim. He wants to be somebody who atisrak liyom acharon. He wants to come and be the kind of person who can be happy in anticipation of his death. So number one, he has to have eyes. He has to be strong. He has to be strong. The person has to be very strong, because there's an awful lot of nisyanos on the way. Satan works full time to try and prevent a person from being a bo bayomim. Does everything in his power. Biggest trait, I guess, there is little Torah. Person wastes a lot of time. Person wastes time. So then he's not a bo bayomim. Every minute that he wastes, so that from the totality of his life, that minute disappears. So that's why the Satan has a big investment there to try and make people in the battle. Averus which a person does, certainly during the time when he's doing an Avera, can't say that he's using his koichos and his time at that point in such a way that he's particularly proud in producing that second when he has to come and give it in the cheshbon. So a person needs to be very disciplined in order to be a tishchak v'yoyim acharan. But the person is only strong, that's not a good thing either, because the person is strong and determined and assertive. It's very, very easy to go very wrong there. Somebody at my house today told me, Hashem, I think he said Hashem Rahman. Tell me that he heard from Rafam that Rafam bemoaned the fact, says that our Yidden nowadays, our Yiddishkeit tends to be mitzvah-centered rather than God-centered, meaning that Baruch Hashem, many, many Yidden are very makpid to be mekayim mitzvahs with a lot of hiddur. Sometimes they forget that there's a Rabbeinu Shlalom up there who's interested in their doing the mitzvahs. Get a moshel, says you can get a guy like pushing five people aside to get to the nicest esrog. There's an esrog salesman, and he's got lots of esrogim, let's say, on his table, and the person sees a beautiful esrog. So, you know, he sort of into the esrog, and if there's somebody in his way, just watch out. So, that's a mitzvah where he's forgetting the Ribbono Shel Olam. If he would remember the Ribbono Shel Olam, he'd make a shikul hadas. Maybe the Ribbono Shel Olam doesn't want me to tread on this person's toe. And perhaps his toe is more precious than the esrog. It's not as expensive, but for him it's as useful. So maybe I shouldn't push. It's kedai to let the other person have it. Is there a guarantee that the Ribbono Shel Olam will have more nachas from my esrog than from his esrog? On the other hand, if a person thinks like that always, so he'll never do anything. So it's not easy to balance. It's not easy to find the right mix of ois, which is assertion, and of vitter. Sometimes it would be more pleasing to the Ribbono Shel Olam for me to assert myself. Sometimes it would be more pleasing to the Ribbono Shel Olam for me to be mevater, not to push. Right, so that's the hodah. The hodah, in other words, ois v'hodah levusha. And its hodah is harmony. In other words, life, a full life, is made up of strength and harmony. In other words, ois by itself isn't enough. It can distort, to make a person act in not nice ways, not in ways which are pleasing to Hashem. But hodah, if her life is harmonious, it means that all the parts fit in. She knows how to play her koichos hanefesh, like a good musician knows how to play an instrument, knows when to press the buttons, when not to press the buttons, when to allow this to the form, when to allow that to the form. So then, vatischak the yom achron, and she can look forward in anticipation to the yom achron. That's v'yom hamoves, v'yom hivolda. Means the person uses his potential, so then the yom hamoves becomes a nice day. It becomes a day to which the person looks forward with anticipation. It stands to reason. I think it says in Sforum, I don't know much about it, but that the Indian of Gilgul Neshama said if a person didn't act the way he was supposed to act during his lifetime, so his neshama has to be niskargel again and be born again. I don't know anything about it. And apparently that's a terrible einish, and you can imagine that. You know, you figure a neshama is up in Shemayim, and you feel already you've done your tour of duty. So now it turns out you have to be niskargel again, back again to the all the problems and sorrows of life down here. So by the same token, if somebody knows that he's going to die, knows that he's sort of done his tour of duty, he's going back to the Ribbono Shel Olam, that can be a day of simcha. That's the Yom Hamoves Miyom Hivolda. Rashi brings, from our Sedra today, Yom Hamoves Miyom Hivolda, Noldo Miriam, Ein HaKoil Yoiden Mahi, Mesa, Nistarko HaBe'er, V'chein Aharon, V'amud Anon, V'chein Moshe, V'mon. You know, it's each one of those people when they were born was a blank page. Nobody knew exactly what was going to happen over there. After they had lived their lives as a Miriam, as an Aharon, and as a Moshe, so then everybody knew just what wonderful lives they had lived. So toiv lo leches al beis evel, mileches al beis mishte, v'asher hu soif kol ha'odam, v'hachai yitein el liba. That's a different aspect. Really goes together, in Ezra learns with Pasuk Dalet, leif chachomim v'beis evel, v'leif ksilim v'beis simcha. The two psukim augment one another. In other words, the pasuk base is telling me where to go. I have a choice, go to the Beis Eivel. Once I've gone there, then I can become a Chacham. So Leiv Chacham in the Beis Eivel, even when he's not there. In other words, once you've done the right thing and gone to the Beis Eivel, so then even when you're not in the Beis Eivel, so your Leiv is in the Beis Eivel. Leiv Kesil in the Beis Simcha. Ksil is somebody who's constantly thinking about the Beis Simcha. Chacham, somebody who's constantly thinking about the Beis Eivel. So what is the advantage of going to the Beis Eivel? The lechus of Beis Simcha, the Beis Mishteh. Because Ba'asher sov kol ha'odam, and therefore Vacha yitain el libay. It's a good thing to know or be aware of one's mortality. It's a good thing to know that one day we're going to die. We talked about that before. It doesn't mean that a person should be morbid. It doesn't mean that a person should go around the whole day in fear of death. Awareness of death in a morbid kind of way, in the sense that he can't be the simcha, he can't enjoy anything, he can't be happy. That's about not the rotzen of the Ribbono Shel Olam. On the other hand, an awareness that life is transient, it's not going to go on forever, it's a milah. You become less involved. There's a big milah in not being very involved in Yonei Olam Hazeh. On the one hand, it's a wonderful thing to have Olam Hazeh. It's a wonderful thing to have the faculty to enjoy those things which the Ribbono Shel Olam gives us in such profusion. It's a milah, it's a derech of avodah. Mentioned the Yerushalmi at the end of Kiddushin, that every hano which a person could have had and doesn't have in the world, he has to give it in the cheshbon on it before the Ribbono Shel Olam. He's supposed to enjoy all the wonderful things which Hashem gives us. On the other hand, to have a sense of proportion. It's something which is important, but it's not the thing which is most important. Things which are much more important than that. So, when you are in a Beis Eivel, either because you're there, because you're visiting, or because you're there in thought, Leiv Chacham in the Beis Eivel, so your sense of priorities is much more correct than otherwise. I mentioned the Rambam before, that Elmolei ha-meshugoim lo nizkayim shamayim lo nizkayim v'horetz. It wouldn't be for idiots. The world wouldn't go around. So what are the meshugoim? What are the fools? Well, the ones who build the houses. If you build a house, like Yimei Shneoseinu v'hem shivim shona v'hem b'gvura shemoinim shona, person lives 70 years, 80 years, 120 years, and you build houses which last for centuries. There's no reason for it. So why do we? In other words, why are we taka so much but that our houses should be beautiful, our clothes should be beautiful, our food should be so tasty? Like, why are those things so important to us? And sometimes they're so important to us that they taka distort our whole sense of being anything. A person can give up a whole life because he wants to have a comfortable life. Ask somebody once, what would you like to make of your life? What would you like to, how do you see your life? So he says, my vision in life is to be comfortable. That's not a good thing. It's a wonderful thing to be comfortable, and it's a great gift from Hashem. But a person whose aim in life is to be comfortable, that's a misguided aim. It's a distorted aim. It's not good. It means that it attaches too much importance to the creature comforts. Not so important. There are more important things in life than to be comfortable. have an ambition to be good, that's a good ambition to have. A person can have an ambition to be an Eved Hashem, he can have an ambition to do what Hashem wants him to do. But an ambition to be comfortable, that isn't such a good idea. So if a person is aware of the Yom HaMoves, so he'll realize that it's not so important. Not so important. You do without it. Bears mentioning, well, I think I've mentioned it before, bears mentioning again, among all the mitzvahs, you know, it's a halacha of meis mitzvah. Meis mitzvah is somebody who has no koivrim. So the mitzvah of burying that meis mitzvah is doich every other mitzvah. You've got to go run and bury the meis mitzvah. So among mitzvahs, instead, what mitzvahs should a person concentrate on? A person should concentrate on those mitzvahs which are meis mitzvahs. There are some mitzvahs which are a meis mitzvah, nobody bothers with them. People don't do them, so mitzvah which people don't do, so it's a good thing to do it. Get involved in the kind of mitzvah which people tend not to do. One of the mitzvahs which people tend not to do, one of the mitzvahs which tends to be a meis mitzvah, is the mitzvah of taka to be misasik with mason. It's of the chevra kadisha. It's of being metapel, being misasik, taras, kvuras, mason. The kind of mitzvah which people shy away from. It's a tendency for people to think, I can't do that. Something that makes me nervous, makes me tense. I can't see a dead person. I want to stay away from it. Especially in Shiva people, later Kailal people. Sometimes there's such a tendency, but that's something for Balabatim. In a Torah, we learn, we spend our time learning, and it's nish for uns. I don't really think that that's right. And I think fakir, that it's a very, very wonderful mitzvah to be ice again. So, I'll call it chesed shel emes. It's a very, very big chesed. I mean, the achlal, chevus, except when they're very, very short staffed, don't usually take unmarried bachurim or girls for the taras. Usually they take married people, so it's not my gear to most of you now. Although have that in mind, have it as something which is on your agenda. It's a shame you'll get married, you live in communities, whether it's in yeshiva, in kollel, whether it's in other Matzavim. It's a wonderful mitzvah to be ice again. Because of the chesed. It's a big chesed. Many people don't want to do it, so those who do it have an exceptionally big schus. But in the terms of Kohelis over here, it's a very, very, very wichtige sach. It's like the prinas, toivel leches at beis ha'evel, meleches at beis mishte, vacha yitin ha'livay. It's asik with a mace. You know this person was alive, and now he's not alive anymore. Nothing to be afraid of. But it's something to think about. It's something which can inspire a person with earnestness, with seriousness. Try and bear that in mind for the future. It's a good mitzvah to choose. It's a good mitzvah to be Isaac. So when a person has the right sense of proportion, when a person has the right sense of priorities. So, bichlal, life tends to be a little more Jewish, tends to be a little more correct. I told you once on this psukim, what Rav Simcha Sissel, the Alter from Keren, wrote in a letter. He says, what's the pshataka? Why is the toiv lechas of beis evel, melechas of beis mishter? I mean, he means taka the sense of priorities which we discussed just now. Because then you tend to associate the correct values to various things. It says, V'asasuru acharei levavchem v'acharei enechem asher atem zonim achareihem. The man tizkuru v'asisem is kamitzvah. See, the mashmos of the pasuk is that leman tizkeru va'asisem is kametz v'asai. If you want to remember and do my mitzvahs, it means if you want to be constantly poised to do the mitzvahs of Hashem, then you'd better not be to acharei levavchem va'acharei einechem. See, if the pursuit of physical pleasures, physical objects, is very important in your life, it means that you're so acharei levavchem va'acharei einechem, so then you're not going to be tizkeru, you're not going to remember v'asisem's kametz v'asai. Your mind and your life and your attitudes and everything that you do will be zeroing in on the wrong kind of things. So if you've used up all your faculties to think about the acquisition of these things, so then there isn't much energy left, there isn't much room left to think about the Rabbeinu Shlomo and his mitzvahs. If we do them, we tend to do them in a perfunctory kind of way, we tend to do them in a mitzvahs anoshim melumoda kind of way, because I'm busy with something else. My life centers on the acquisition of this thing which my einayim wants, or this thing which my leib wants. That's by me, my life. No, I've got to do mitzvahs, I do the mitzvahs. But it's not with a lot of chiyus, it's not with a lot of energy, it's not with a lot of love. And so it tends to become just a mitzvahs anoshim lemoda, which isn't very valuable. So if you want to be man tizkeru v'asisem v'skomis v'asai, v'yisem kedoshim lelokechem. The mitzvahs are supposed to make you into kedoshim, asher kedoshonu v'mitzvaysav. So the function of mitzvahs is to make us into kedoshim. So you don't become a kodesh through doing mitzvahs if you do them perfunctorily, if you do them just by rote. But you're going to do them by rote if the ikka in your life is the pursuit of your Einayim and of your leib. So a person has to get his priorities straight. He has to know what's an ikker and what's a tofel. And if he doesn't have that straight, you can't say he's not an Eilech Yid, he's still doing mitzvahs. But they don't mean that much. And St. Francisco feels that in order to get those priorities straight, that's you have to be in the Beis HaEvel. Was to allow oneself to become aware of the transience of life, and because one is aware of the transience of life, to know what's an ikka and what's a tafel, and then you'll be in good shape. Emes is that way. The person thinks in terms of panosa, let's say. Panosa, by some mitzvah, there's no suffix about it, re'echayim, isha, asher, hafta, it's a posuk, which is mechayev us to have panosa. But the pasuk doesn't tell us what kind of panos. It doesn't tell us what we have to do. The person has a choice. He can take a panos, as long as it's a kosher panos, as long as it's not over any averus. So he can take a panos like this and take a panos like that. So when you think in terms of the transience of life, you think in terms of somebody who functions in the base aver rather than in the base mishta. So what is his thoughts? What is his thought world? His thought world centers around the fact that the panosa which I choose is going to affect me in the next 70 years, let's say. Well, 70 years measured against eternity isn't very much. 70 years measured against 5 years is a great deal. 70 years measured against 1,000 years or 100,000 years or 1,000,000 years or eternity, which is a concept which we can't grasp altogether, isn't very much. So let's say that a given parnasa is particularly attractive for the next 70 years, but carries in it problems for the 500 million years after that. So a correct perspective, which is born from an awareness of the base aver, will help a person reach a conclusion which may be different from that of a person whose leib is rather in the base mishta, isn't aware, or is only intellectually aware, but not really, really feeling and thinking that way, of the transience of life, and who therefore feels that he's going to be there forever. That's what we do feel. we feel consciously, subconsciously, we don't really believe we're ever going to die. And therefore, he makes a decision not based on the netzach of after a person dies, but on the zman for which he's alive. He may turn out to make the wrong decision. So that is the maila of thinking of the base eva. So that's v'acha yitan el legoyim. We'll go on in Koheles, we'll see that that doesn't mean, for example, that a person should go around, like I say, being sad or morbid. Just look at Pasuk Yudalev, Yom Tov, Hayev B'Tov, Yom Ruah Ve'eg, Yom Zilu, Mazir, also like him. Right? That doesn't mean a person shouldn't be happy when Simcha is called for. What it means is that he has to be serious, has to be aware of what he's doing. Hoilelus, stupidity, folly, is never a good idea under any circumstances. Even when it's a time not for sadness, but for simcha, but it's never a time for foolishness. That's the maila of the Leif Chocham, the base Eva. Base Mishta, occasionally there can be hoilelus too. That's not good. The Yom Tov, Heyeh, the Yom Tov, Heyeh, B'Tov. It was simcha. The whole rest of the Megillah is going to teach us how to be the simcha. It has to be a simcha which is tempered with yirah. V'gilu b'ra'oda. Gilu b'ra'oda means to be happy with a sense of awe. And that is what the whole Megillah is talking about. Okay, we'll